Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed. I'm your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me is always the ever lovely and charming Lady Diane.
It's me.
How are you today?
All in order.
You got all
just,
kinds of.
I have too much going on here,
like
I think.
She's like the chains of Jacob Marley are on.
I have ruffles and I have
is
too
that
much
chain
going
mail?
On.
It is. No, your shirt.
Oh, no, it does. It looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
she's ready for combat.
Yeah.
In a medieval sword fight. Mm-hmm. She's ready to go. Also, of course, always the incredible Philip James Gunger.
Hello.
Hello, Governor.
Hello. From the side.
Engineering the show is always the very talented, but eerily creepy, Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this incomprehensibly, immeasurably boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markgungor.com. Here's how the show works. You send us anything that you have about relational issues. Nothing's off limits. Hence the warning. You stay anonymous, and then we're pretty brutally honest. Mm. What do you got there, sunshine?
Okay, a little
Ain't
article.
No sunshine when That's she's right. gone. Hey, you like my new glasses?
I do. Yeah. They're just throwing me for a loop because they're so different. They're so different than either of your other pairs. Either of your other pairs.
What do you think, Phil?
Pretty cool.
All right.
He's not commenting.
I don't know. I defer to my wife for
the fashion.
Yeah, most of us do. All right, what do you got?
Okay, little article. 9 things married men need to stop doing.
Stop doing.
No, frankly, I could have thought of about 89 things married men need to stop doing, but
that's
apparently it's down to 9 things.
All right.
He says,
hold on.
Do you have it right?
I'm going to move the camera. Can you handle it?
All right. You could have asked me to move myself. Okay, apparently in no particular order. The first one, getting more excited about fantasy football than you get about your wife and kids.
Won this weekend, thank you.
Yeah, Phil. Getting more excited about fantasy football.
It's okay to be fans, but let's not live...
You don't do one of these gambling ones, do you? Or do you?
Well, I mean, we play for money.
Oh.
But not like
$10 million?
One of the gambling sites, no.
Oh.
So what makes a difference between
really
playing
gambling?
For
That's...
money and gambling? How do you differentiate?
Well, they say it's because it's based on skill and it's hard to win. It's not by
just our, so
pure
our friends,
chance.
Our friends all put in money.
Yeah, that's so. The way that my son is in. He's in 8, by the way.
I win a lot.
And last week he went 8.
We're talking
and
thousands of dollars here? Hundreds of thousands
hundreds,
of dollars?
Hundreds.
$50.
Whoa! He made all the $50. His life has changed.
Mike
oh, no, we all
like
put in $50.
I you made all
like,
put in $50?
I made like $300.
Every week?
What? Good Lord, no.
Oh.
For the whole year.
Oh, for the whole year, yeah. I was going to say. Boy, need some counseling over here.
Yeah.
$350 every week. Spread your wife
yeah,
and beat the snot out of you.
Gambling. I'm sorry. Okay.
Right.
Anyway,
she cheers me on.
Not more attention to the fantasy football. They say that it's okay to be a fan, but let's be more excited about our real lives than our fantasy stuff.
Yeah, Phil.
Clearly a fantasy football hater. I'll ignore that one. Move on.
It's okay. Actually, that's the guy that wrote it, I think. Number two, you need to stop looking at porn. And you were just talking about that before we came on the air.
Because more and more secular, heathen, non-Christian... clearly crude and obscene websites and advocators are telling men, you want to increase the effectiveness of your sex life? Stop looking at porn.
Yeah, I just got an email, actually. I subscribe to this. It's like a workout and diet
men's
thing.
Men's fitness thingy.
I mostly read the emails. Doesn't do that much for me. I'm still getting around to applying it. The study first.
You read it. That's good.
But hold on, Phil. I'm going to adjust your camera.
Well, can I keep on talking while you do that?
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, they're complete heathens. They'll write things sometimes how to, get your body right and you can get any chick you want. So, I mean, they're like non-Christian at all. And they had this recent email, and one of the things was a lot of it, they're trying to help you fix your willy.
Mm-hmm.
is a big part of their thing, too. And the number one thing they say that's so many men are doing this number one thing that's killing their sex life, and it was stop looking at porn.
Mm-hmm. And I've been saying this for how long? This is ruining men's sex life. Just from anecdotal evidence, talking to guys, you need to stop. Mm-hmm. And now even secular sites are acknowledging this is ruining people's mm-hmm. sex life, men's sex life. Guys, stop looking at the porn. It will suck the life out of you. It is not a positive thing. Certainly from a Christian viewpoint, there's a pretty strong case of not doing it. But even if you're non-Christian, stop. It doesn't work. It doesn't improve your sex life. In fact, it does the opposite. It makes it worse. Good one. All right.
There you go. The third one. Stop zoning out when your wife is talking to you.
Huh? What? What? Women talk to me? What?
Men can have a tendency to zone out during conversations. I've never experienced that.
And in our defense, women often talk about things just out of the blue. They have nothing to do with anything. My wife changes channels like a...
I would agree.
Like someone sitting on a remote controlling her head. All of a sudden, she'll just pick up and start talking about something that is totally not related to anything close to what we were talking about or anything. And then she'll go for 30 seconds, I go, what? What are you talking about? Pay attention. Pay attention? What is the zoning thing?
Well, that's different than zoning out. Your wife changing channels and talking randomly is different than you not paying attention.
No, my argument is that what motivates one to zone out.
Because you...
I can't follow. What the heck? Okay. It's something Now, I'm saying I still press through and I'm doing this. I try not. I would say it's
stop
easy
zoning.
Not to.
Oh, it's understandable.
It's easy to zone out because, like, at some point you just go, uh-huh, mm-hmm. uh-huh. Keep reading what you're... Yep. Mm-hmm. You're zoning out.
He says, remember, your wife's need for meaningful communication is every bit as strong as your need for sex. So that should put it in perspective.
All right.
So if you want sex, then quit zoning out and being a zombie.
I'm saying I do try to do this.
Okay.
I'm just saying, in our defense, there's a reason.
And it helps if they start the conversation with you while you're in the same room looking at each other. And clearly, there should be cues to, hey, he's going to listen to me now.
No. Instead of being in a different room and starting a conversation, walking in, and you don't know what they're talking about. And then they yell at you.
I know.
What? What are you talking? I've been talking to you for 10 minutes. Really? I didn't know you were in the house. Anyway.
Do you know what really has improved my ability to have conversations with men?
What's that?
Working for your father. Because he is the most conversationally challenged male that I've met in my advanced chronological years on this earth.
What are you talking about, woman?
I've learned how to really communicate better with the male gender because of you.
Get back, witch!
That's a compliment. You've taught me something.
Good
seriously.
Grief. All right.
Okay. Should we stop at three? And
we're done
continue?
With three. We'll pick up on another show, next show. Holy moly.
There's nine. Oh. Read the subject.
It's going to take us 3 months to go through.
No, it's not. That was the 25 best marriage advice things. Nine we can get through in three shows.
All right. We'll see. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with your emails right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
This portion of the Mark Gunger Show is being brought to you by a new program that we have launched from our church. It's Celebration Church here in Green Bay, of which I'm the pastor. It's a transitional program. It's a one-year gap program from kids going from college, from high school into college. What we do primarily today is we take high school kids, as soon as they graduate, we throw them into college, and we think, oh, this is the best thing to do. When in fact, a lot of them are going, they don't even know what they want to do. They have no direction what they're doing. They're floating around, and it's been a disaster because all the studies show about 80% of all our kids that go into college within 2 years have totally given up on their faith. Why is that? Because they're not really ready for college. One of the reasons we're ready for it is because a lot of the programs that are in our churches and what we do with our kids doesn't prepare them. It it gives them diversions. It entertains them. It gives them a reason to want to come to a hot dog eating contest and this, or we're going to go camping. Or not that those things are of themselves evil, but we're not really preparing them. A lot of so-called youth ministry is youth diversion. Keep them happy so they're not driving me crazy and they're not off having sex somewhere. And then we're just going to, but that's not really building character, the kind of character that's going to carry them. Look at the studies. Look at the results, folks. How long does it take before we realize what we're doing is not working? Many programs like these have been popping up around the country. Actually, we're not the only one, but we have ours now. It's a one-year transition program called Transition One. We call it T1, where it's a one-year program. You go, and instead of just launching them off into college, we have this one-year program where they come, and for this nine-month period, we are teaching them about how to live successfully. We are doing it from a biblical standpoint. Now, this is not Bible college. We're not trying to create a Bible college. This is about how to make right decisions. There's things about the Bible, you know, using God's word and stuff like that, but how to do a successful life. Now, for the first 6 months, there's a lot of the classroom stuff teaching that we work with them, and here working in Green Bay and getting you involved hands-on and actually experiencing your faith. But the last 3 months of it, we send you. They pick a place. We got several places we go where they go overseas in missions for 3 months. Now, a lot of people do like these, you know, 10-day, one-week mission trips. Oh, I went on a mission trip. Yeah, you kind of went on a weird vacation, really. That's not, really. But even that can be life-changing, okay? But you really want to get changed? You put them someplace where they actually experience the other people who are really in a different world, and you can really minister to them. And anyway, check it out at transitionone.org. Send your kids. It'll be great. Check your blues at the door. Check your blues at the door. So kick back, relax, 'cause we're checking our blues at the door. Check your blues at the door, because you are now being part of the Mark Gunger Show. No blues allowed here. Answering your emails about love, marriage, and relationships. What do you got?
Okay, she says, my husband and I just got married 2 weeks ago, and now I am being pressed by my father-in-law with the question of whether I will change my last name or not.
Now they're having this discussion?
Apparently.
What is it with people? They wait till after their marriage to decide stuff. Whether they're going to have children, where they're going to live, name changes, what to do. They wait till after they're married.
She said they did discuss this prior to being married, and the fiance at the time didn't care whether she changed her name or not, but when they told his parents, so her now father-in-law is the one that's having an issue with it, and then her husband now has taken it to heart and thinks that she's not serious about her commitment to him because that's what, like, his father is having the influence on him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What did they agree on before they married?
Before they got married, she said that her husband didn't care one way or another. But now she says he prefers that I take his last name to please his father and his male ego. But he originally gave her the freedom.
Why is the camera looking at me the whole time you're talking?
I don't know.
Clearly.
I don't have the switchers.
Glasses.
I am physically overwhelming. See, now I'm talking and the camera's on you. Apparently,
Tim fell asleep in the other room. He had a glitch. He's glitching.
It's a little in the back room. Somebody's doing drugs or something. Yes. Anyway.
Okay, got it. All right. So anyway, he gave her the freedom to choose, but now because his daddy got involved, it's become more of an issue. So she wants to know, what do you feel about the subject, and what do you advise her?
First of all, I don't feel anything. I don't care. My advice is, you got to live with these people. Why do you care? Who cares? Do the hyphenated thing.
Well, she said that that would be a problem because it's still different from her husband, and it would be different from her children. So she's not certain about that. She wants to know if there's any biblical or historical principle for it.
The biblical principle you won't like, which is women submit to your husbands. That's your biblical principle right there. Now, what about her children? So this is a second marriage?
No, but like if you hyphenate your name, your children don't usually have the hyphenated version.
Listen, I think the hyphenated, to be honest with you, I think it's a little psycho. You know, it's all this 1960s feminist goofball nonsense. You've got thousands and thousands of years of human tradition where the woman takes the husband's name. You know what? Even some of the most crazy lefty chicks. I've seen them interviewed on, you know, actresses and stuff like that. You know what they do? They take the guy's name. Mm-hmm. Even though they know it's not, you know, you're supposed to, you know. Now they keep their professional name just because they're, you know, whoever. But they all, legally, they just change your name. That's, it's tradition. My advice, tradition. Just, you want peace? Honestly, you'll get less hassle, less confusion, make everybody happy if you just do what most people do. Or you can try and be cool and hip and feministic kind of thing, which a lot of them don't even do it anyway and just cause problems. So you want grief? Keep doing what you're doing. My advice, you want my advice? Take the guy's name. Stop. That's my advice. I don't hear any more from her.
What if he had a really bad last name that you didn't want?
Well, that could be
an
issue.
I've heard a few that it's like, I don't let's want your not name. Go I want there. You, but I don't want your name.
Yeah. Again, you worked that out ahead of time. All right. What do you
okay. got? All right. Next email says, I really enjoy your show. My husband and I like to discuss the topics you've mentioned. One in particular we're having a hard time wrapping our heads around is the subject. Only one. You're pretty lucky.
Wow.
Is the subject of separation.
Okay.
It seems in today's world, separation is like a pre-divorce or that it leads to divorce. Mm-hmm. Other fears couples may feel about separation may be that it gives them an excuse to sleep with somebody else and that it's not being an affair since they're separated.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm advocating.
Or that it's a way
separate
of...
Separate so you can screw somebody else.
Withholding.
Really? What show are they listening to here?
I don't know.
All right.
Would you please clarify the difference between separation and divorce?
If you haven't listened to the show very much, when I say separation, I'm not arguing legal separation and all this other kind of nonsense, nor am I advocating people going to start dating and sleeping with other people. When I say separate, I mean you are hitting some very intolerant behavior from a spouse. And we're not talking, gee, he didn't pick up his underwear or she didn't ask me how my day was, psycho crazy stuff like that. I'm talking major problematic behavior. And if you're not sure what that is, keep listening to the show because it comes up on a regular basis. You don't tolerate it. And if he doesn't change, you just leave. And it's usually over in 24 hours, mm-hmm. max 3 days. That's not the legal separation you're talking. That's a step to divorce. I'm saying your wife wants to have, dinner dates with another man so they can discuss issues and pray about things. Okay. My guess is it a guy writing me here or is it a woman?
It's a woman, but she said it was her and her husband. So.
All right. So your husband would really get upset about this. Hey, that's not okay. Well, I think I should be able to do whatever I can. No, look, if you're going to do this, you know, you're on your own, you know. And when she comes home the next day, he's not there. She gets all upset, what's going on, and it forces the issue, resolution right away. Usually, sad to say, it's usually a man. Oh, my vast experience is that men act very badly. Not always. There's some women that are just as much a pig
happens.
As men. But overwhelming, it's men. So let's say your husband is looking at porn or going on dinner dates with other women. And say, well, it's just for work and all this, and it's really upsetting you. What are you going to do? You know, most people do, well, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to, you know, get in the war room. I'm going to get all my friends. And really, all you got to do is say, hey, stop it. If you don't stop it, you're going to come home. I'm not going to be here. I mean it. All right, woman, you can't do it. And he keeps doing it anyway. He comes home. You're not there. He freaks. He starts calling on the phone. Where you at? I told you. I'm not going to put up with this nonsense. Well, you can't do that. And they always cave. They always cave. And then you come home, and he just stops it. And if he does it again, you do it again. I mean, these things, and again, we're talking outrageous behavior. Boyfriends, girlfriends, sexual improprieties, all kinds of stuff. Gambling. If you're going to keep gambling, I'm not sticking around. It's just that simple. You can't tell me what to do. You know, getting drunk. Hey, man. Mm-hmm. These things force a confrontation, force the involvement of the family, because now everybody knows that it is the most effective way to bring significant change in relationships that I have ever seen. I'm not against prayer. I'm not even against the war room, per se. What I'm against is that people try to use prayer and all these things in place of what the Bible teaches, which is confrontation. The Bible teaches, in situations where you got someone acting badly, look, read the Bible. How many times someone's acting bad and Paul said, you need to confront them. You need to throw them out. You need to turn them over to the devil. Jesus said, one guy goes to him, a couple more, the whole church, he doesn't listen, you kick him out. This idea that you're not supposed to have any confrontation to Christianity is bogus nonsense. These are people who create their own version of Christianity that is not accurate and true to the Bible. The Bible says that you need to confront bad behavior. It's just that simple. And people don't want to do it. So I advocate you just leave. And it always causes immediate confrontation that brings a resolution. It works overwhelmingly. Now, you get into second, third marriages, and it's not nearly as effective and stuff. But in first-time marriage, it's very powerful. And we've got all kinds of testimonies of people who looked at this advice, and it just stopped. They write, thank you. He stopped. Because they know you're serious now. They're not going to put up with this kind of nonsense. So that's the kind of separation I'm talking about. You're having a major issue. Somebody comes home. The other person is just not there. The offending partner always panics, always freaks, because they don't want mom and dad and everybody else to know what they're doing. And it forces the person almost always caves, and it saves the marriage. I'm not talking the legal, gee, I'm going to finally get divorced thing. And here's the crazy thing. These people who don't want to do this, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm going to get praying. So they all eventually wind up leaving them anyway and divorcing them. Then the church, oh, we love you. We're going to pray you through your divorce. You know, really? How about you encourage them to confront bad behavior up front? Then you don't have to have a divorce. And that's what I'm talking about. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with another email right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Heading down to the river where muddy water flows. On the Mark Unger Show, listen to the music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. Mark Unger, along with Diane and Phil, answering your emails about love, marriage, and relationships. What do you got?
He says, I need some advice on how to help my younger brother. It's a guy writing. The brother is 28, married with 3 kids, been addicted to porn and masturbation since he was in his early teens. He met his wife at Bible school, and they began their relationship, he says, in a very stringent and sterile fashion. I don't really know what that means. He said they really didn't know each other. It was almost an arranged marriage.
Wait a minute. So he's doing porn and masturbating in Bible college and dating very strictly.
Apparently.
Talk about two alternate lifestyles.
He says the porn addiction and other maturity issues for both of them almost killed their marriage. Anyway, he's confessed to his wife now, and she's staying with him. They're trying to work through it. They installed the monitor software on the computers. And this, the brother, is the accountability partner, so he gets the updates for what he's accessed. He wants to know, can you offer any guidance or advice for how to help him work through this? Things to say or do? How often to call and check on him? I want to help him as much as I can.
No, I don't have any advice for you at all. I don't get it. I just don't understand.
When you're asked to be the accountability partner for somebody, what?
I don't know. I'm sure they must have a word to hear about that. Ask them. Look, I don't like this thing. It has always irritated me. And look, if that's what it takes for you to stay clean, then God bless you and go for it. I don't get this idea that men have to hold hands with other men so they can keep their hands off their own willies. What version of Christianity? I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're saying we can believe in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, but yet I can't control myself. I just got a problem with that. And I know there's a million of you out there thinking, oh, no, it's fine. That's the way it is. And all right, then great. But, you know, I'm not your guy to be asking how to replace the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I don't get it. The Bible says the grace of God has appeared to all men. If you're not much of a Christian, you might tune out for this next few minutes. The Bible says the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no and to live self-controlled. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. I guess my advice is, if you lack self-control, your answer isn't to find an accountability power. The answer is to walk in the Spirit. Paul said, writing to Christians who are struggling with sexual issues and all kinds of bad stuff that he listed, the answer is to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So Christians who don't walk in the Spirit and yet still fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, their way to fix it is to have all these programs and hand-holding sessions so they don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay, if that's your version of what it takes, fine. I don't understand how come as Christians we don't point them in the direction the Bible says. Get closer to Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. Renew your mind.
So there's your advice. That's what he can say and do.
I know, but I mean, that's not the way people want to hear. They want to hear the technical, you know, how often do you call and what kind of programs do you put on the computer so it can ding you when you know. And really, I don't understand this. I'm not trying to be heartless.
Insensitive.
Okay? I care for your brother. I care for everybody. I don't hate anybody who has this or any other problem. I don't hate anybody. You think I hate people? I hear all kinds of stuff. I hate you.
You hate me.
Well, you know what I'm saying? It just grieves me when we know what the answer is, biblically speaking, and the church is so impotent today that the thought of the Spirit of God making much impact in people's lives is like, well, that only works in theory. I need a program. I need hand-holding sessions. What kind of program? That stuff I don't have any answers for. All right, we'll be back with more right after this break.
Caution, The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Never easy, never sane. It's all so complicated. They look like a rainbow, but the color is the same. Hey.
We're back on The Mark Unger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationship. Just had an email from a guy who has a brother who has all these big porn problems, and you know, he wants to help them, and they've got the accountability things and the hand holding and all the stuff. I wonder if I have advice. I don't have advice when it comes to that kind of stuff. I have this delusional concept that if you walk with Jesus, he can set you free from that. My advice would be, along a spiritual matter, is draw closer to God, and God will draw closer to you. If you have more of the Spirit of God, of spiritual experience in your life, one of the results of that is self-control, right? Mm-hmm. You can control yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm having a hard time controlling myself. Well, why does the church come up? Well, the answer then is let's have hand-holding and let's have these automatic things. You know, I don't know. In that respect, not in terms of faith and all that, but in that respect, what makes us any different than a lot of other religions? You know how Muslims, you know, they have the same concept of basic sin as we do.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all religions have the same basic concepts of sin, mm-hmm. lying, cheating, sexual immorality, and stuff like that. Their answer is to so control things so that's how they don't wind up falling into it. If you put women in bags and cover their faces, so all you see is this, you know, they walk around like tanks.
You know, looking through the little slits.
World War II tanks, so they're looking through to see, you know, that. So you can't see anything but walking bags, you tend not to have less problems. If you make it illegal, and I don't know, kill you if you're selling alcohol,
mm-hmm.
we probably won't have problems with alcoholism. Isn't that interesting? That's the church's answer. Make it illegal.
Mm-hmm.
It was a church that pushed for prohibition, embarrassed themselves.
How'd that work?
It was a disaster. But that's exactly what the church, instead of letting the power of Jesus do anything, we profess righteousness, but we deny the power thereof. One of the signs of the last times. So the answer isn't, you know, to walk in the power of God. The answer was to make alcohol illegal. And it was a disaster. You know, you got problems stealing? I don't know. What do they do in Muslim countries? Let's cut off your hand. It's rather effective. So is that our answer in Christianity? The way that we walk righteously is we have guys' hands tied and have machines and everything else and accountability, keep them from masturbating and looking at porn? I just find that highly, just my Christian viewpoint, I find it highly offensive. I think it's absurd. The only way we can get men from not becoming alcoholics is to ban alcohol. There's still a lot of counties in the South.
Mm-hmm.
They're called dry counties, mm-hmm. where the churches still overwhelmingly control what goes on, and they just make it illegal. Well, guys still do it anyway. You know, I mean, it's their version of let's use outward influence to control what we lack on the inside to control. And I said, well, what's the message of Christianity? If that's the answer, you have to start cutting off people's hands and stuff. I bet you that'll clear his masturbating problem.
See, they can't help it. They can't stop.
Well, cut off his hand.
Cut off your hand, I bet you can stop.
Now, Jesus actually said, cut off your hand. You know, but I believe he's being hyperbolic in saying, stop. That's not your answer. People, there's crazy people who actually take it literally.
Oh, I know.
Poke their eyes out and do stuff like that, you know, look. If you have to put ladies in bags in your life, and that's let them look through the slit
there's people like that will just take that the wrong way and do that. They hide them in the basement and put them in a hefty bag.
Put them in a hefty bag and put a little
awful.
Slit.
So hey, you watch Criminal Minds, don't you?
If that's your only way, that's what you think as a Christian, that's the only way for men to walk righteously, okay, then that's what you got to do.
You need a call from the FBI shortly.
What's in the corner?
Increasing number of cases where people have cited something they heard.
Listen, I'm telling you, this is... Because that's what churches do today.
I know they do.
And I'm very counter to this stuff, and it gets me in trouble with them. Because, well, we can't make men feel bad, and they can't help it, and we got to have all these accountability things, and they're holding hands, and all this. You know, I spoke once for Promise Keepers. I'm sure it was once. They'll never, ever have me back again. I get it. Quite frankly, I don't care. Mm-hmm. If that's our version of Christianity, you know, you keep that version. I'm going to go with... You know, I think Jesus can actually set us free. I think the Holy Spirit can actually empower us. Now, that's not to say that people don't have struggles. Now, I get that. But I don't understand. The answer, I think, is to draw closer to Him and let His power enables this spirit of, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which one of them is self-control. You know, it's like we've used this analogy before. If a fruit tree isn't bearing fruit, you don't yell at the tree. Come on, man, you got to, you know, surround it with pictures of fruit. You know, have fruit accountability and, you know, have other fruit trees around it that are having fruit and try and say, look, this is how you do it. You got to try hard. That's not what happens. If a fruit tree is not producing the right fruit, you've got to help the tree get healthy. Fertilize the tree and prune the tree and trim the tree, whatever you got. I don't know if you want trees.
You're not an arborist.
I got an artificial Christmas tree. I don't know jack about trees. I'm just saying the basic, as much as I know, is it just doesn't happen. They actually work at it. Mm-hmm. They have to. And the way that they work at, if you're a fruit, like over Door County here in Wisconsin, cherry trees and apple trees and stuff like that, that doesn't happen automatically. Have you ever tried to grow a fruit tree?
They're difficult to grow.
A lot of people try it. And only to watch it die.
Yes.
Because it's not so easy.
No.
But it's not the tree's fault. You got to put it in the right environment. These fruit farmers. I'm a fruit farmer. Whatever the heck you are.
You're just a fruit.
I'm a fruit. Okay. These fruit farmers, they work very hard.
Yes.
At making sure of the right environment. Because you put a fruit tree in the right environment, you know what? It's going to grow fruit.
But doesn't have to think about it.
Doesn't have to struggle with it.
Doing.
It just happens automatically.
Isn't that what they would say they're doing by creating the right environment with the monitors and the friends? They would argue with you and say that's what they're trying to do.
Look, I'm not opposed. If that's what you got to do, do it by all means. If you have to hold hands with other men so you can't grab yourself, then by all means, have hot hand holding. I'm not opposed to that per se. It just grieves me. I just think, really, how does this not make us much different than other religions that they bring such physical consequences and put women in bags and stuff so they don't struggle with these things? I just think the spirit of God in us, if you'll get in the right spiritual environment. See, to me, that's a physical environment. Taking away this and hand-holding and all this accountability.
You think that's manipulating the externals rather than dealing with the internals.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you'll do it with the right internals, then you'll start having the fruit. It just happens automatically, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control, and you walk free of these things. That's my personal opinion. Now, if you think we need the internal and external, whatever it takes. If you need to live in my house so I slap you every 5 minutes... If that's what it takes, God bless you. I just am a bit grieved that so many Christian men and so many churches, their answer to struggles of the flesh is to contain the flesh rather than empower the spirit. If that doesn't make sense to you, then yeah, it's nothing I can do. But that's my grief.
That's
do you have an email?
I do.
All right, let's... What is it about dating?
Dating.
Okay, we're gonna change the subject. We're gonna come back with your dating emails. And if all that confuses you, then fine. But honestly, I really mean that. I want to underscore that. If you need, you know, people watching you 24/7 to keep you from stealing something, okay, then so be it. You know, if nothing else, just for your family's sake. I would just think, I don't know, if you're really walking in the Spirit, you don't walk into stores and steal stuff. I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess. I guess I have limited understanding of these things. I just struggle with that. So anyway, that's my answer to all that nonsense. We'll come back with your dating emails right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Steam milk, lots of froth.
Music of Michael O'Brien. Check out his music at michaelo.org. Okay, so I said we're going to do dating questions. I lied.
Well, because you kept continuing the discussion during the break. No, it was good, though.
Look, if you two still have questions about it, there's millions, 12 people that watch your show also have questions about it. So let's keep talking about it. Phil was arguing. He says, look, isn't that in a sense what the church is, the gathering together and encouraging one another? Yeah, I get that. I understand it. I don't know. There's just a part of me that just... I don't know. I think the church is incredibly impotent today. You don't see the kind of... Man, you read the book of Acts and look at our local churches, it's like two different worlds. You know, where's the power of God? Where are the miracles? Where's the... Of course, the people actually have come up with theologies that say, well, God doesn't do miracles anymore, and the Spirit of God doesn't move anymore because, you know, that was a different dispensation. I mean, they just make up stuff. They're desperate to make stuff up because they see the problem. So rather than admit that we have a problem, they come up with theories and doctrines.
I think some of what you're seeing is, I don't know, this is just my little limited view of
the universe.
My 37 years here on Earth. But it seems like there's sort of rubber bandy bouncing back and forth that happens in Christianity. It seems like...
That's true. We tend to swing freely. Mm-hmm.
So what I see with these groups is sort of a thing of like, wait a second, all we used to do... is just have people come in, sit in front of the altar, and pray and pray and pray to try and change their problems, and nothing was happening. And they weren't doing any face-to-face, let's actually try and work through this and teach you how to do it. So now they're reaching the groups, and now to your point, they maybe have so gone away from anything spiritual or any power of the Holy Spirit messing with these guys' lives, and it's all programmic. Mm-hmm. Programmatic.
But see my answer to that would be, I think the teaching has been faulty, you know, and faulty teaching. Say, well, just keep praying about it. That's why the problem with the war room thing that I have. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great example. We had Christians who came under great condemnation and never were taught really how to walk Victorian Christ. And they said, if you just pray through, you'll have... So the people spend hours at altars praying and still go out and live defeated lives. Not that prayer doesn't work, but they're working under a false understanding. That's why I try to encourage people. Look, the big thing that people struggle so much in all of these things is the whole concept of feelings. They don't know how to control their feelings. They think because their feelings are a certain way, they have to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say we need to teach people, you don't have to do what you feel. Now, if that's what it requires, then let's get to that. You know, but people pray, Lord, take away these feelings. These guys who struggle with porn stuff, you know what they pray? Take away these feelings. You know, alcoholics pray? Take away these feelings. Everybody said, and my argument is, he doesn't do that. You know, what you need to learn is you don't have to do what you feel.
And that's what a lot of these programs will talk about. I mean, even AA, they never say just come to one AA meeting and then you're done.
Yeah. Again, I am not against these programs. I mean it with all of my heart. If that's what it takes to straighten you out, then by all means do that. We have programs in our church that we do that I just shake my head and think, really? This is what we got to do? But let's do it if that's what it takes. I mean, but stop and think. AA is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. AA, now they say, well, there's spirituality, you know, believe in a bigger being. All right, but it's still not the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that's, they are helping people, and God bless them for it. I mean it sincerely. They're helping people in the natural. If you follow these programs and plans, you can walk free of it. Then great. That's great. But the gospel of Jesus, the power of Jesus, is a different experience where he sets you free. And I don't think the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit needs people like AA to make up for the lack of the power of God in their lives.
But doesn't it set people free by teaching them to learn how to say no to ungodliness? It's not just that they never have to struggle with it.
I guess the point is, though, listen, if you can get to the same result with Alcoholics Anonymous to overcome your, or any proof to overcome your sin issue, then Jesus died in vain. What's the point? We don't need Jesus.
Okay,
we don't need the Holy Spirit because we can learn to control ourselves. Again, whole religions where the way we control the masses is we make things illegal, put women in bags, and they don't have all these problems because they come up with their solutions. I just think it's sad. I look at it, if that's what it takes Christian men to behave themselves and go through these programs, then God bless them. Look, again, we have programs in our churches.
But what if these one, I feel like I'm sticking up for these programs and I don't know anything about them. But I'm just sitting, what if these programs do that? What if it's a hybrid of both things, that it's men teaching other men how to say no, how to get the Holy Spirit become real in their lives?
But they're not teaching the Holy Spirit. They're I'm talking about like an alcoholic. There's all kinds of great secular programs.
But I don't think that's what these guys are
talking
about.
Secular counseling. Look, I'm not against secular counseling if that's what it takes to fix your crazy. But there's still a version. I just go, really? That's what we got to do? If it is what we got to do, then so be it. I'm just saying. I don't know. I think there's a few people out there who understand what I'm trying to say.
What if
Alcoholic Anonymous can fix alcoholic problems, then we don't need to preach Jesus because, you know, you don't need Jesus to fix your alcoholic problems. You got a program to fix it.
What if these programs or these things, what if that is the way that Jesus uses other people to help? What if that's part of it?
If that's what it takes, I'm all for it.
Because we pray for wisdom. Well, what if his way of instilling wisdom into the life of a man who's struggling with porn is through a group? I'm not saying that it is.
I'm saying, sincerely, I'm all for it. I'm not saying I'm not for it. I'm just saying it grieves my idealistic part of me, which is a pretty small part because I generally don't live idealistically. Yeah. Can you tell? But I hear that stuff and I just go, really? That's what we need to do? There's a program in our church that it's all about understanding your mind and struggling through your arrested development and stuff, you know, and the
family of origin issues,
all this stuff. Yeah. And there's people in our church who swear that their life has been dramatically changed because that's what they did. And they went through this 9-month program of reprogramming their brains and that's how they got free. And you know what? I applaud them, whatever it takes to get free. But there is a version of me, without a doubt, that goes, really? That's what we got to do.
But what if that is renewing their minds? And that's what the Bible talks about. What if that is the practical feet on the ground way that helps them to renew their minds and break the thought patterns that have not served them well? Yeah. What if that is
What's
God
my answer?
Using that?
I give you the answer 10 times now. What's my answer?
Really?
No. The answer's great.
Yeah,
if that's
no,
what
I
they
know.
Need. But there's a part of me that just goes, really?
But
this is what we have to do. We've got to walk people through.
So what you're arguing for in your idealistic tiny little portion is like this instantaneous impartation of the Holy Spirit that just breaks it like that.
Whether or not it's instantaneous or others, is this, I truly believe that we are lacking. We're lacking it. I mean, I can't generate it. I just think we're so numb and overwhelmed and overcome by natural forces, and we're not nearly as spiritual as we should be. And the church runs into these problems, so we've got to find natural solutions. And I just think, I think at some point.
But like Phyllis said during the break, he didn't say it when we came back on, you could say the same thing about marriage. If you were just holy enough, if you had enough of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have these marriage problems. You wouldn't, we'd be all out of jobs if that were the case. You know. But do you feel like God actually uses you to help people?
Yeah, of course he does. And again, I don't think marriage, you don't have to even be a Christian to be married. Marriage is, that's what people struggle over. They don't understand that marriage is very much a physical thing. Just like you want a job, then pray for money. Well, no, you need to go work. You need to go get the money. I'm just talking about things that seem to control people. Mm-hmm. Alcoholism, pornography, these things that just, I think there's a spiritual element of this that just controls people. I think that kind of stuff should be broken, ideally, if we're walking in faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I don't hear a lot of that today. What I'm hearing is the answer is that it's not a spiritual problem. That it isn't. And okay,
I don't agree with that. I think that it is a big spiritual problem.
The answer is not a physical answer to a spiritual problem. But maybe I'm
physical answers are. I think you hear more success from people going through physical answers to deal with their addictions.
All right,
because it's all. Listen, there's science involved. There's all chemical things. I'm not saying there's not spiritual side of it as well.
No, I get that. If that's what, again, You guys are hearing me say I'm against these things.
No,
I'm
not
against them.
You no. hate
God
them.
Bless them.
You hate no. them all.
God bless us, everyone, like Tiny Tim. And we have these programs in my church. And we have the brain programs and the counseling programs. Whatever it takes. If I got to dance in a tutu surrounded by pink elephants while I sing Adele's song, you know, if that's what it takes, I will do it. And I'll be happy to do it. I'm just saying, when it comes to these types of things, particularly like porn addictions, where I think it's not a physical answer, I think it's a spiritual solution. It just grieves me that it seems like our answer has to be hand-holding through these things. Anyway, we'll take a break. Timmy's yelling at me. We'll be back.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
What will you do when the show is over? All right, continuing our wrapping this up, because we certainly want to get into anything else.
No.
The wrestle between what practical steps can you do to help somebody versus what we believe God can do in people's lives. The consensus at this point is apparently it takes a little bit of both, mm-hmm. you know. And Phil said, look, going to church and being around people in church is a physical thing that also has a spiritual connection mm-hmm. and the encouragement of people. I'm all for that. I'm all for church going and stuff like that. It just kind of grieves me a little bit. I think we get dangerously close to just being a social services organization, that the answer to your problems in life is the right class.
I agree with that.
Program. And if that's the case, then what's the point of Christ? I guess their answer would be, well, Jesus forgives you of your sins. Okay, I mean, if that's, maybe that's all it is. You know, he forgives you of your sins, then you're on your own after that. You know, I don't think so. I think, again, the Bible talks about the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Now, Phil's pointing out, well, there's natural things you can do to help encourage it, and I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Again, I am not against these programs. I'm honestly not. I'm telling you, we have them in our church.
I'm not telling
I will
you that
send
you
people
are.
To these programs. I'm just, at some point, I just go, really? We've talked about it in our pastors' meetings, you know, it's just really.
It's like steak. Some people try and push for well done, some people push for rare.
Mm-hmm.
I think the answer is medium rare, which is the perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do agree with that.
I'll see. We agree.
Mm-hmm.
We do agree.
At the end of the day.
Well, I think we agree more than disagree on this. Look, I'm for any of these programs, all these programs. This guy writing in, man, whatever you got to do. You're just asking me the fine-tuning of the programs. You're asking the wrong guy. You know, I don't get into all that. But whatever it takes, all for it. Personally, I still think there's a lot more power out there than we've tapped into. All right, see you.